Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10. Today, we'll focus our attention on verse 24 in the third chapter of the New Testament letter of 1 John. So I'll begin today by reading 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit, whom he has given us. Okay, now friends, this is such an important verse. In John's worldview, in John's supernaturally inspired writings, we regularly come back to the point of the Holy Spirit abiding in truly born-again believers. This is enormously important for John, and it's enormously important for living the Christian life. Now, John deals with the point of abiding in Christ in the 15th chapter of his Gospel, the Gospel of John. There are four Gospel writings in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, John records the teachings of Jesus on this point. So today, I want to read from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, and we'll let it shape our thinking about what John is saying in his New Testament letter of 1 John. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And remember, John is recording the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Well, we can see that the issue of abiding in Christ and Christ abiding in believers is important to Jesus, as well as the Apostle John. Now, there are a couple of important perspectives to have on this John 15 passage before we move back into 1 John. So I'll quickly mention them just for our overarching reference. First, Jesus uses the agrarian illustration of the vine feeding the branches. The reason that the branches can bear fruit is because they are receiving nutrients from the vine. In the Christian life, Jesus is the vine. Believers are the branches. In this teaching, Jesus mentions bearing fruit. The fruit that the branch bears is directly and intimately related to the characteristics of the vine. Grape vines don't bear oranges. Orange trees don't bear soybeans. Soybeans don't bear coffee beans. The fruit that's on Jesus' mind is the type of fruit that has an intimate likeness to the character of Jesus. In other words, the true follower of Jesus will bear fruit that is of like kind. The true believer will bear fruit that reflects the nature, beauty, quality, and purposes of Jesus, our true vine. The true believer will need necessary nutrients, and those nutrients will only be available through Jesus Christ. In Christ, believers supernaturally receive all the nutrients necessary to bear the kind of God-pleasing fruit that reflects the character of Jesus. One other thing. In this John 15 passage, notice the close connection between our abiding in Christ and Christ's word abiding in us. We see this in John 15, verses 7 and 8. Quote, If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So, when a person is born again into new life in Christ, the Holy Spirit supernaturally comes and takes up residence in the soul of that new believer. And the Spirit works supernaturally in the life of that new believer to accomplish the ongoing work of life transformation, the kind of transformation that increasingly shapes our own personal character into the likeness of the character of Christ. But we have a personal responsibility to ensure that the words of Christ are abiding in us. The Word of Christ, Scripture, is the fuel that the Holy Spirit uses to enable believers to live a beautiful, God-honoring, and God-pleasing life. So, we have a responsibility to be in the Word of God regularly, studying the Bible, but we have to give credit where credit is due. It's God the Spirit who internally shapes our characters so that we fulfill the scriptural commands to love God and love neighbor. Okay, back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. John says, "Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." In the preceding verses in chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, John has mentioned the issue of obedience to Christ's commands, and then the apostle immediately in verse 24 makes a statement about abiding. Now we want to be careful here. John's words could mistakenly be taken to say that obedience is the condition that we must meet so that God would come abide in us. So let's think here. Maybe the best way to think about it is in two distinct phases. Salvation, my friend, comes by God's grace alone. God's redemption is not dependent upon our obedience. Salvation is by God's grace alone, by our faith alone, in Christ alone. Okay, that's phase one. The second phase concerns the born-again person's life as a follower of Jesus. The second phase concerns our sanctification, God's miraculous working in the life of a formerly heart-hardened person is revealed in obedience to the commands of God. Obviously, God wouldn't be working so that a person could be disobedient to God's commands. Well, let me check that. It ought to be obvious. But clearly, there are people who think that they can live in blatant disobedience to the commands of God and still be one with God in spirit. So, perhaps it's not so obvious. But in any realm of life, a leader, a coach, an instructor, works with a student, a disciple, so that the disciple might obey the instruction that's being transmitted to them. But in spiritual matters, some folks seem to be quite content in claiming Jesus on the one hand, while at the same time reveling in their ungodly disobedience. No, God works in us in such a way that we are obedient to the commands of Scripture. God helps us so that we increasingly think, speak, and live like Jesus. Obedience is the expression, the evidence of the fact that we're abiding in Christ and that Christ is abiding in us. When we speak of being, quote, in Christ, we're referring to our being immersed in the truth of Jesus Christ and of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, being actively present in our own souls. So, in real life, in true Christianity, in biblical, Christ-centered Christianity, in the sanctification process, there's this kind of reciprocal relationship between disciples and their Lord. There's a reciprocal spiritual fellowship. We dwell in Christ, and Christ dwells in us. It's the closest and most permanent of all unions. It's a vital and essential union between the human and the divine. There's this mutual abiding. And this mutual abiding is at the heart of real life and vital Christianity. Now, what's the point for the Apostle John in his letter of 1 John? The point is this. The interior work of God in the life of the believer ought to be visible for all to see. It's not a mystery. John's readers ought to be able to use some discernment by observation. They ought to be able to discern if the Spirit is living and working in the life of an individual. By this, John's readers in the first century and the 21st century ought to be able to discern between true and false believers, true and false teachers. People may make all kinds of claims about their spiritual status, but do their actions back up their claims? All right. What is John saying as he finishes this section with this powerful verse? My friend, the apostle is saying at least this much. No one dare lay claim to being united with Jesus Christ unless three fundamentals are present in that person's life. First, true believers will believe in the name of Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God. Second, true believers will love the brethren, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Third, true believers will be obedient to the commands of God. As I say, the Christian life, my friend, is not some sort of mystical, out-of-mind, out-of-body experience. Real life, the real Christian life, consists of evidence, the evidence of our confession of Jesus as the Son of God who came to earth in the flesh, the evidence of a consistent life of growing in holiness, and a consistent life of growing in the agape kind of love for fellow believers. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.